We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The Spiegel and Parkin Show.
It's been about protecting Riz. Now, when you get Contreras back, everything, the mechanics are, for me, everything morphs into a different direction. Having Willie being able to play, easy to put him there, easy to move Zobrist up, easy to move Happ and Schwarber back.
Matt Spiegel, Danny Parkins, middays on The Score.
Yes, we are. We got a very busy second half of the show today. Michael Irvin in 20 minutes, can't do it, at 11:40. Pat Manley in studio for the noon hour, and Pat Manley is going to be booking a guest every week. Pat McAfee will be on the show around 12:40 today. The show is brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Did you know that 91% of guys that use new Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant recommend it? So if you're heading to the gym right now, why not pick some up on the way?
You heard Joe Maddon right there talking about having Willie back. Having Wilson Contreras back, being able to slot him in at cleanup, 3 walks last night for Wilson Contreras. And just, you can hear it in Joe's voice. Oh, boy, like, just, you put him there. You can move all your other pieces around. You feel a hell of a lot better.
Makes it easier.
About things. And that is big. A lot of people writing in the wake of last night about something you and I talked about with Joe yesterday, which is Chris Bryant's success or lack thereof with runners in scoring position. As the big blow last night, the game-changing moment was a three-run homer with, you know, with two men on, two outs, and a 3-2 count, and Bryant gets it done.
Yeah, there was a couple. I mean, in Schwarber's game also, in terms, we talked a lot about, hey, if not now in this particular situation, right, there's a tying run against a righty, when for Kyle Schwarber, and
right.
Then Schwarber gets the start, and he has a walk and a struck single left center field, went with the pitch, and then he had a homer too. So great day at the plate for Kyle Schwarber.
Absolutely, and it sure felt a little bit like, hey, play me more, boss.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm right here, because his lack of usage over the weekend, specifically in the ninth inning situation like you're talking about, that felt crazy. The Schwarber game is huge, and the Bryant game, in looking at the opportunities and the numbers for Bryant, he says he's taking more walks with runners in scoring position. Is what Bryant says. That's a good thing. I'm getting on base, but not getting them in. Riz has been getting them in. It's just a weird year. You think of all the handful of lineouts you have, it's a completely different season. Everything is fine, but now that the numbers say different, it doesn't feel right. That's well put by the player, actually, I think. Don't you?
Absolutely.
Like, now that you look at the whole year and the numbers don't look right in terms of RBIs and OPS with men in scoring position, et cetera, it does not feel right. But over the grand scheme of his career, he might waffle back and forth a little bit in these situations.
Yeah, maybe next year I'll have 130 runs driven in. You know what I mean? It's possible. Like, I guess maybe unlikely if he continues to hit two, but it's... I would assume that Chris Bryant's offensive production numbers, his counting stats, if you will end up being just fine way more often than not.
Yeah, you know, assuming that guys get on base. What one thing that we checked out with some math yesterday is that the opportunities for him with men on base and scoring position are also down from last year. So that is also true. While he is producing less, he is also having fewer opportunities. That combo will get you to, what, 60 RBIs? 62? Where is he now?
Yeah, he was in the low 60s.
He was at 50. I want to say he was at 56, and I think now he's at 60, something like that. Either way.
Yeah, and the pitching thing to me is more interesting because, he hit 59. Baseball reference has him at 59.
So
they sometimes are a little slow to update it. Yeah,
gotcha.
But to me, the offense, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'll take it right now. If the Cubs need a big hit and Chris Bryant's at the plate, like, sign me up for it, right? Like, the offense is going to just be what it is. That team, we know it, right? Bryant will be 2, Rizzo will be 3, Contreras will be 4.
I will bank on a battle-tested team to hit.
Yeah. Zobrist, Happ, Baez.
Like, right.
It's a good lineup. It's an experienced lineup.
And the home runs, they have to have home runs. Either they'll hit them or they won't.
Exactly.
You know, and that's part of the crapshoot that is the playoffs.
The offensive stuff's a little simpler, I feel like, right? Like, you know, the guys who are going to be in there the vast majority of the time, they're either going to hit or they're not going to hit. You can quibble with one or two lineup choices, maybe. The Schwarber thing, I think, is certainly interesting if Joe's going to go from postseason hero the last couple of years.
To not trusting him in a two-run game with a man on base in the ninth inning.
With a righty on the hill, right?
Yes.
Like that is certainly very interesting.
Yes.
But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But in general, we know who is going to be playing for the Cubs offensively, and we know they'll either perform or they won't, and that'll go. The pitching stuff, do you trust Wilson? How does your rotation set up? Who gets the ball in game one? Is Arrieta right? Does John Lester need to be given 6 to 8 inches off the plate as a strike in order for him to be effective? Like, there's a lot more questions with this team's pitching to me than their offense.
For sure. Jose Quintana looked terrific with
an
extra day of rest that he and Joe were quick to point out. One extra day for Quintana seemed to help as well. Third straight start. And then Arrieta is the big question. Arrieta is a big question. Where is he? What level of readiness is he in terms of even just coming back at all? Seems to be basically ruled out for the weekend against the Cardinals because he hasn't thrown a bullpen. Listen to Chris Bosio this morning with Mully and Hanley talking about the Jake Arrieta injury.
Right now, it's really a day-to-day thing. I got good reports from the trainer yesterday. Good reports from Jake. Had a nice throwing session where he got it out to about 120 feet. Pretty effortless.
So that's
it's so important that obviously there's no setbacks.
So important that there's no setbacks. And he continued about that in terms of the setbacks.
He's trying to do everything he can within reason. We got to be smart about this. We got to make sure that he's healthy because any tweak at all, could cost him the rest. Of the regular season. Now, I don't know how many starts he's going to have. I don't have that crystal ball. But he is progressing. It is getting better.
The nervousness that comes with dealing with an injury at this time of year, you can hear it in the carefully chosen words. Any tweak at all could cost him the rest of the regular season and maybe a playoff start in what could be a series or two.
If he misses one playoff start, he might miss the playoffs.
Correct.
If the Cubs lose to the Nationals. By the way, Baseball Reference is a day behind.
63.
It's 63 RBIs with 26 home runs for Chris Bryant, looking at the ESPN page, just to put a bow on that. It's funny about how dominant, and maybe funny is not even the right word, so fickle everything about Arrieta. The mechanics, right? It's like, man, if one thing's off with that guy, he's completely off. Mm-hmm. But when he can harness it, he's Bob Gibson. Like the range from greatness to completely untrustable, or in this case, from not startable, right? It's a health question.
Not
it's
usable.
Like, yeah, completely unusable. It's like, oh God. Guys who are that great normally can have a default of good, right? Like they can normally like, oh man, I didn't have my stuff today, but I was able to gut it out and go through six innings and give up two runs. That's not normally the case with him.
This is why I've said for 3 years they're not going to re-sign him in this particular offseason because of the difficulty in investing long-term in exactly that.
But you just wonder, every team knows it, right? Mm-hmm. The book's out on Arrieta. They're not dumb. So is someone going to talk themselves into it, or is that going to become industry consensus?
Every team doesn't know quite as much as an individual team does. They often think, I mean, look how Arrieta came from Baltimore and got here and got fixed because one team was stupid. You know, the way that Baltimore deals with pitchers was dumb, and the Cubs realized they could fix something. Other teams will have the hubris on a certain, they'll think, oh no, we could help get him right. And even though, because when he is right, he's amazing. And he's mostly been right when you look over these last 3 years.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily Bob Gibson every time, but here this second half has been phenomenal.
And it's not that he never has those starts where he's not perfect and gives you the two runs in six innings and says, I wasn't perfect there. But I think we could agree that for pitchers who most would describe as great, and the industry would describe him as great, Cy Young winner, the whole thing.
Right.
His range of badness is a lot wider than most people of his greatness.
Understood. That's obviously a big concern for the tweak. And then the other pitching thing that we were talking about this morning is Justin Wilson.
And I wanted to get your reaction to what Bosio said about Wilson.
He really does have big time stuff, but he's at his own worst enemy right now, and we've all been there as pitchers. You go up and down our roster, and each and every guy's had their moments.
So that's him talking about Justin Wilson being his own worst enemy, and the mental side of it, the humanity, which is what we talked about in the nine. And then I know you were interested in the movement of the pitches,
this
right?
Part of it, yeah.
It's not his first time around the league. He's trying to get these guys to swing the bat, but you know, at times he's got a little bit too much movement on these pitches, and he's not really going after him in the zone and getting swings.
You hear all the time about, you know, you got to attack the zone, you got to trust your stuff and all of that. But the idea of too much movement on his pitches as being a thing, like, you want to have the great stuff for a relief pitcher, the swing and miss stuff.
Well, it sounds like Bosio thinks he's not attacking the zone enough because his pitches move so much.
Right.
So he's nibbling. He's nibbling out of a little
with
bit of fear.
With movement. So the movement's moving it out of the zone.
And this is how you dovetail the human part. Right?
Right.
And the stuff part, because if he's not attacking with just enough confidence because he's trying to hang out right on the edge of the zone and his stuff is drifting just out because it has as much movement as Bosio is seeing, that's how you end up where he is, walking two guys last night, five guys in his last three appearances total. Those things do match up, actually, in battling himself and not attacking the zone quite enough.
I hope Bosio's right. Because the mental side of it, you could feel like if he's still overwhelmed by coming over here and trying to impress, the games are only going to get bigger and more tense, and he would only become more overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But if it's just, hey, throw it right down the middle and trust your stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, well, then it's like, okay.
Especially,
you should be able to do that.
Especially in a 6-run game.
Right.
This is why they put him in. We have a lead, but it's a huge lead. Remember? Like, he had put, Joe had put Justin Wilson in the 9th inning of a 4-run game, not quite a save situation, and he looked great doing it. It's like, oh my God, here he is. Because he had that stretch in the middle where he had 5 appearances with no walks and 5 1/3 innings. And now he's back to this chaotic spot. It's definitely concerning on both the human level and, in Bosio's mind, the intention level as he's on the mound.
And I think they're going to have to figure it out, because I think in the playoffs they're going to have to trust Justin Wilson. Coming up next, excited to have this guy on the show during NFL season. Cool insight, unbelievable storyteller, and unbelievably open and honest. We're going to talk to the playmaker, Michael Irvin, coming up on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Showtime.
Michael Irvin.
Let's go check. We'll throw him in the any cup. Let's throw him. I'll go get it. I'll go get it.
Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Michael Irvin is double covered, but he's got it anyway for another Dallas touchdown.
The playmaker.
What I do?
Make plays.
Nothing but make plays, baby.
Touchdown. Michael Irvin. Not many people would make that catch.
NFL Network analyst.
Look up. Get up and don't ever give up.
Michael Irvin with Spiegel and Parkins on The Score.
Very excited to have Michael Irvin as a part of the Spiegel and Parkins show during football season from NFL Network. The playmaker joins us by way of the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. Thanks for the time. How's it going today, Michael?
Man, it's going great, guys. How's everything going over there?
Things are going great here, and like I said, in that open, I did a pretty good job of showing it.
Love the Dick Stockton highlight call there. Yeah. He's still doing games, but
he's been making that good easy money for a long time.
Yeah, that good easy TV money. Right?
It's not sitting in the studio having to have an actual opinion and live by it every week, right?
that is the truth, man. But you guys, listen now. Now listen, let me give you some sprinkle of hope here. You got to be pretty okay with the opener and what you saw out of your Bears, right? You know, that was a Super Bowl team they played, and they played to a 1-score game. You got to think that was better than you probably expected out of the Chicago Bears.
I think it's all downhill from here, Mike. It's they got two guys immediately on injured reserve in the 2 days following it with Kevin White and now Jarrell Freeman, and it's like things are going to fall apart until we see Mitchell Trubisky. But we'll see how it goes. But yes, that was fun. To your point, it was much more fun than we expected.
Yeah, but I feel so bad for Kevin White, man. I don't know. You know, it's like, dude, I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm telling you, and this stuff is so crazy that I remember early on in my career when I blew out my knee and I had never really had any injuries and I had missed so many games. I mean, I really got so frustrated and flustered. I got so depressed that I was thinking, man, maybe I need to be out of here. You know, I was really thinking about leaving Earth. I was sick up because I just wanted to play and I couldn't play. And I worry about Kevin White. I worry about his mental state. I worry about his well-being, because I knew how badly he wanted to get on the field, and then he goes and suffer another injury. I'm telling you, I worry about his well-being, and I hope he's okay. I'm going to reach out to him, but I hope he's okay.
You should reach out to him, because now this is three for him, and it's a particularly tenuous part of your life to be, what, 23, 24, 25, and not know what you're going to do with your life as it gets taken away? That was a scary time for you, Mike.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm telling you, man, my mom had to come here, and she was taking care of me, and she was rubbing on my knee, and she was like, baby, you okay? You know, she could see the worry on my face, and she was like, man, baby, you're going to be okay. God is always taking care of us. I said, I know, Mom. I said, I just got to get well. I said, but we're okay. They're going to still pay us for right now. She said, oh, boy, you okay. They leave me alone. What you talking about? As long as you getting that check, you go. I said, baby, no, I need to get back on the field. It's bigger than the check. I got to get back on the field, you know. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter about money. It makes you question your very man, your very existence. You know, all your life, this is who you've been. And all of a sudden now you get to where you've always wanted to be, which is in the NFL, and your body, you feel like your body's letting you down. You start thinking, I don't measure up. It's just so much that goes through your head, man. I'm telling you, I've been right there where he is, and I know how frustrated it is.
Michael Irvin, the playmaker, with us on the Spiegel and Parkins show. You know, it's stuff like that why we were so excited to have you on, and I just got to be honest with you. When the story came out last week, bringing back up, because you are always open and honest about stuff, about how the NFL is still looking into allegations with you, Michael, about sexual assault, I was like, oh my God, are we not going to be able to have him on? But then this is so much more serious than that and all of that. Like, is this ongoing? Where are we at with that? I feel like we have to ask.
Like you said, the story said that they're investigating. I don't care about them investigating. The guys, let me tell you why I don't care. The only, because I know that this was not a decision between consensual sex and non-consensual. This is somebody said I did something, and I said absolutely nothing happened. I don't even know what they're talking about. So all the evidence, the same evidence that has everybody in jail right now, the same kids, the rape kids, the toxicology reports, every bit of evidence that they use to convict people every day has come back to say exactly what I said, that absolutely nothing happened. You can investigate until the day run out, until we run into the next day, and then the week run out, until we run into the next week, months, you run into the next month, as long as you want. The only way you find anything is if this is the second coming of Mary, the Virgin Mary, and it is an immaculate conception or something, because absolutely nothing happened. And I got to hold on to the truth always prevailing. And when that truth prevails, that's why I'm not even worried about it. I'm not even worried about it. But I tell you this, how scary that was. Because think about this. I think about it this way. If she did not go, and I don't know why she would, unless she was just hallucinating, if she did not go and take that same kit, if she didn't go take the rape kit, she didn't go take all those tests, who would have believed me? It's my word against her word. It's a he said, she said, and you always believe she said over he said. I would be sitting in jail right now for something I did not do if she just didn't take that kit. Because nobody would have believed me. I'm so thankful. I'm just so thankful that she took all the tests. Got all those tests done. That's all I'm saying.
Why are you upset with the NFL for staying on this when law enforcement is not at this point?
No,
correct.
That's what the NFL does, and I can't be upset with them because that's really I don't. Is that the NFL fault or is that our fault? Let me tell you what I mean by that. We expect the NFL to set the standards for our country, even when the law doesn't satisfy us. You know, as horrific as these situations are, what I just went through, what I was falsely accused of, I mean falsely accused of it, totally falsely accused of it, Ray Rice went through, you know. So the law says one thing, but when we see it in our eyes, see this girl get punched, and we're like, oh, my God, I don't care what the law says. The NFL has it. We put the NFL above the law. So the NFL jumps in, and basically they go above the law. So even when the law says one thing, the NFL still has to come back. another. These are trained investigators. The police are trained investigators. This is all they do. This is all they do. But since we're so engrossed with the NFL, when the law says one thing, that doesn't satisfy us. We still want the NFL to do something to show strength, mm-hmm. and to step in and make a decision and everything. So we've asked them to do what they're doing. I don't mind, because I know I had done anything. Do all the investigating you want. You're going to come to the same conclusion that they came to, that nothing, absolutely nothing happened.
Michael Irvin from the NFL Network on the Spiegel and Parker Show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
As we continue with Michael Irvin, the playmaker from the NFL Network on the Spiegel and Parker Show, we appreciate you wading through the brief sports update. Before we get to some football, some of our texters are coming in and saying, hold on, is that Ray Rice comparison? I don't think that one works there. I assume what you're saying there is the players have made the NFL have to have this policy of looking into things like
well,
that.
What I'm saying is that we love our NFL so much. We love our NFL so much. Even when something happens and the law investigates it and the law comes down and says one thing, whatever the law may say, we still expect the NFL to make a decision on it on its own, to stand on its own, because the NFL is our sanctuary. That's our sanctuary. We want that. And also, it's like I said, even with what Colin Kaepernick is doing, why when we see the NFL, we see how we work in the locker room, we see how we work on the field together. We get on the field, we get in the locker room, we remove all race, religion, all of that stuff, and it just comes about who can do their job. It comes about what we want the world to be about, what we want our country to be about. We want it to be about the content of one's character and his ability to do his job. That's how you get a position. That's what we see it on the football field. Why can't we see it within ourselves in the world? We see how great we work together on a football field. That's all I'm saying. Listen, Ray Rice, what Ray Rice did was horrific. I no way ever touched a woman in any kind of way. I was upset at the law. I was upset at the law for not having stiffer penalties. And I got a daughter that I dropped off at Howard. I have a daughter, older daughter. If I see somebody hit my daughter like that, and I see him walk out of jail, you gonna see me walk in jail, cause I'm gonna bust his ass. Do you hear me? Excuse my language, but I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be the one walking in jail. It was absolutely horrific. I'm just saying that we do expect the NFL to do things even beyond what the law does.
And that's why we had to ask to clarify, because to some it came off as sympathy for Ray Rice enduring the ordeal.
Oh,
and,
God, no. And there's no such thing as sympathy for Ray Rice for what he did.
Okay.
But, you know, and it was visual. It was visual.
We saw that.
Oh, God, no. There's no sympathy. I'm just saying that no matter what the law says, we expect the NFL to step in and do something, because that's, the NFL is our sanctuary. We don't want to see it get dirty.
Well, we'll have you on. We're going to talk about the serious issues around football and the games themselves. Michael Irvin on the Spiegel and Parker
Show.
Yeah,
but let's say this. Let me say this too, guys. What we need, what we're doing right now, is very important. I'm, as a spiritual man, the Bible tells us this. It says, confess one with another, pray ye one for the other. In this we shall find healing. That's why I don't mind talking about my history. I don't mind having open conversations about what's going on, because the more we talk about them, the more we share one with another. The more we share one with another, the more we come together, and the more we find healing. I talk to you about my strongholds, my situations I've had, women and drugs and all of those things. There's somebody out there that's going through it himself. And maybe he hears it, and he gets some hope, and he said, well, if he came through it, I can come through it too. It's these kinds of conversations. This is what makes the conversation so important. To me, I say, is God telling you he's still writing the Bible by pulling people out? We don't always have to hear the stories that were written thousands and thousands of years ago. If we get enough people talking about what's happening right now, we can draw inspiration and motivation from the stories right now today.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff to be as open as you are about all of those things. And in some ways, it's just like you talking about Kevin White's injury. You have lived through some of the stuff that these people find themselves in the midst of in their 20s, and you've come out the other side.
And I'm going to tell you something. The most difficult thing of what I just went through when I was accused of this horrific thing of drugging and assaulting somebody, the hardest part of it, you know, outside of what man, my family had to go through, was it took, you know, in this world, you're guilty until proven innocent. It's not innocent to prove guilty. So all during the off season, I go around, I speak to all the high school kids and everything about making better decisions and don't make some of the bad decisions that I made. All of that got taken away. All of it got taken away. Yeah, and I lost millions of dollars and lost a lot of opportunity. But the most difficult thing to deal with was not having those moments to go and talk with people, because then I'm left to my own regret. I look back on everything I've done, and I leave it in a state of regret because I have no outlet to use it for others' good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. It's interesting stuff, because the idea of regret, Michael, because the other thing that people would say, and when I was preparing for the interview, I was like, you know, I believe I have this right, that there's been an incident in your past where there was like an outright false accusation, right, where the woman ended up in jail. Then there was an unannounced settlement.
And I sued him, won millions of dollars, but nobody ever talks about that.
And then there's this incident. So there's three incidents, right? And I'm just wondering, like, in a macro sense, like, is there any regret? Like, do you have to make any sort of changes where, like, you find yourself in these situations?
Yeah, oh, my God, yes. They're absolutely regret. There's regret in it all, you know. There's no way I can say that I don't regret it. And I question, like, why is this happening? Why does that happen? But then I go back and say, well, maybe it's because of some of the things I really did do. Mm-hmm. You know, there were a time that I was pretty loose with women and all of that stuff, and it wasn't that I was doing anything illegal, but I was doing a lot of it. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I question why it happens. You know, it's like, and when this comes up, like when this last thing come up, and people go back in '95, he was in the same situation. I'm like, what are you talking about? I wasn't even there. This was somebody that said that put me in it when I wasn't even there. You know, and all of that still comes right back up as if I was there. Nobody details it like you just did. Nobody tells the truth. Nobody says, well, one time it was 2010 and somebody accused them of doing something in 2006, 4 years earlier, and they asked for $2 million and then he wouldn't give it to them. So then they filed this lawsuit. The police never chased them. They said there was nothing there, but it's all about money. Nobody details all of it. They just say he was involved in. That's just the world that we are in.
Mm. You know, I always think of you, Mike, when I think about wide receivers, because you're the one who gave me the definition that I like of why so many wide receivers are like, look at me, look at me, look at me. Because I think the way you said it was, you are in the most independent spot on the field, split out wide. Right?
Yep.
You're split out wide. You're the most independent spot, but you're the most dependent on everybody else in order to get the ball. You can't do a thing unless people get you the ball. So you got to scream.
Conflicted, inside it out. Don't get surprised that we are conflicted as receivers. Don't get surprised, because that conflict stems from the position and the situation that we are in. Let's make sure that we totally understand. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. That's the same stuff that feeds the psyche every which way. Look at me, but you're independent at the same time. It's crazy.
Absolutely. It is a funny thing. That's why I always tell young receivers, like, listen, there are two people you don't ever go after. You don't ever go after the quarterback. You don't ever go after the head coach, because they got too many worries on their mind. And Troy Aikman, he can throw a ball, it can fall 20 yards in front of me. And you know, I run back to the hook. Troy, that's on me. That's on me. I should have gotten that. Don't worry about it. I promise you I'll get it next time. Because what I can't have, guys, I can't have him thinking, oh, man, I didn't throw the right last one right. Maybe I better not throw this one unless I'm going to throw it right. No, don't worry about that. You just throw it. We'll get it. You just got to throw it. And I tell young guys, don't have him questioning if he should throw it to you. Just let him throw it to you. He's never wrong.
Michael Irvin from the NFL Network. We're going to talk to him on Wednesdays during the season. Hey, Michael, you know, the next segment that we do is called Can't Do It, where callers call up and ask questions. And if we can't answer the question, we hit him with the old Mike Singletary.
Can't do it.
And then they get a prize. I have a feeling that if someone asked you questions, you'd be very tough to get to say can't do it. You seem like an open book.
Well, and I want to be. That's the only way God could help me. You know, like you guys just said, God can use me. I mean, when you just said, you know, when I go through all the situations, I do want to be more careful. I have to be more careful because I don't want to be caught in any situations like I've been caught in or anything. I don't want to be caught in them. But I don't want to be not able to be used by God. And he used people to help people. So I have to try to mitigate. I have to walk that thin line where I'm still open to people, but not vulnerable, not allow myself to be vulnerable to people. And that's a tough line to walk.
Michael Irvin, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for your time.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Can't do it.
The segment most likely to get someone suspended, fired, or at least spending the night on the couch.
I will tell you a deeply personal story because I have a tendency to overshare.
I raise you. Nastiest you've ever done. I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. Mary Screw Kill, Donald Trump, Matt Spiegel, or Jimmy Butler?
I'm not going to answer that. It's stupid.
Which category do you click on that would horrify your life?
What's the question? I feel like this is like a setup.
I have to answer your question. You can't do it.
I don't know.
You shouldn't do it.
It's a very negative question.
I have a question. Yes. In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
I don't know that I really want to answer that.
What's your question?
I'm your huckleberry.
I'll answer the question.
This is bad radio and it's not appropriate.
Why do we never get an answer when we're knocking at the door?
Can't do it.
312-644-6767. You ask questions. If we won't answer them, you get prizes. Brought to you by KFC. Get the classic fried chicken taste with a $10 chicken share. KFC, it's still finger-licking good.
I'm ready to tell the truth or give a prize. Those are your options.
Patrick Manley in studio for the 12 o'clock hour.
He's turned us down flat out on ever being a part of this segment. I'm sure we could extend Michael Irvin 1 week just right into here.
Michael Irvin during Can't Do It would be something. Let's go to
who were the other Cowboys you did blow with at the White House?
In the White House. Yeah. Charles Hey,
I don't answer.
Yeah, we can't answer for him. That's true. Joe in Lincoln Park, who's your question for?
How you guys doing? A long time, first time. This one's for Danny.
Okay.
Danny, you're going to get rid of every single person who produces at the Score except for one. Specifically part-timers. Who is being saved?
Which part-timer is Danny saving from the part-time staff?
Yes.
Think about everybody you interact with.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Well, yeah, I know, right? Well, because like you said, producers, and our producers are mostly full-time, right? Like Rick and Jay are full-time. I guess I'm saving Ray Diaz.
We need him.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm saving Ray Diaz. He's really nice. He always was willing to make a food run. He's never going to eat any of the extra pizza slices because he's vegan.
Apparently he's vegan. He eats Veganaise. We need to get vegan advice. We can talk to Ray Diaz.
I fire a vegan right away.
Yeah. That's a fair point. You should fire a vegan. That's a good point. But no.
Into the sun.
I'm keeping him.
No, vegans are okay.
312-644-6767. Chris in Crystal Lake, who's your question for?
For Matt.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Matt. I want to know if you're in the bedroom with Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky, who's your first-string quarterback?
This is a tie-in to last week when I openly admitted that Jay Zawoski would be my pick. Just logistically, I'll take Trubisky. I don't know if I can reach where Mike Glennon's neck needs accompaniment. So, yeah,
Trubisky's
my number one.
You know what, though? Glennon's going to prepare for it. He's going to be a great teammate. He's
going to guide you through it gently. You know, all the research will be done about what you like.
He's going to make the right reads. You're right about that.
And then he keeps always getting replaced by younger prospects.
And it will take forever.
But Trubisky, I get the improvisation, which I need, frankly.
Yeah, a lot of mobility.
Yeah.
A lot of mobility with Mr. Trubisky.
Get around.
John in Lake Geneva. You're on Can't Do It.
Hi, my question is for Matt.
Yes.
Okay. Matt, how much does a guest like Michael Irvin make for being on your show?
I genuinely don't know the answer to that for this specific case. Sometimes they get a deal in trade where they have a deal with a sponsor and we run a commercial during their segment.
Which is the case for Michael Irvin.
Is that the case for Michael Irvin? Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm clean in saying that.
For sure, I think so. That has happened different times throughout the years. So specifically, that's your answer. He has a deal that we don't even know about with said sponsor.
But it also, I will just add, it ranges, right? I think it can be as low as $50 an appearance to hundreds of dollars, if not more.
Correct.
Depending on who it is, and there's sponsors attached to it and all
that. Right, and I've heard numbers for other guests on other stations where the ratings did not bear out what they had hoped, but they paid a lot of money.
Oh, I mean, no, those color, like, those quarterback shows, that those are six-figure deals.
Woo!
Right? Those are six-figure deals, but that's an hour a week, so for 16 hours of radio, call it $100,000. It's very, very expensive. There's a wide range for the paid contributor. Let's go to John Oaklawn. Can't Do It. What's up?
All right, this one's for Danny.
Yeah.
Mary, screw, kill, Jameel Hill, Chris McKendry, and Julie DeCaro.
Oh, jeez. That's not even, it's, wow, whatever.
You're just happy it's not your question?
Yeah, I'm walking over here.
You're walking over there, huh? Oh, you're so proud of yourself, aren't you, John?
I am.
You're very proud of yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know you don't like to.
Can't do it.
Congratulations.
Can't do it.
Congratulations, John. Got yourself a prize.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to objectify anybody in that way. No, sir. Well done, John and Oaklawn.
Can't do it.
Oh, hey. That's new.
Well, I played it before, but neither of you guys had your headphones on.
Oh, that's new.
We got a grobber, can't do it.
That's good news.
Well done. Speaks just points to the sound machine when that question was asked, by the way. He's like, do it.
That is the fastest I've ever seen him move in any direction. It was away from the microphone.
Primetime Deion Sanders over here.
That's right. I have tremendous backpedal from the microphone.
You can do it. Hit the can't do it button. Yeah, you can do it.
You can do it.
Let's go to Joe in Schaumburg. Joe, who's your question for?
Danny.
Okay.
When you first met Speaks and found out about his son Reuben, did it ever cross your mind that the overweight Jewish guy named his child after a deli sandwich?
Yes, of course. I mean,
Joe,
hold on, I'll put it back on.
Hey, Joe, are you aware of what my son is named after?
Actually, no.
Oh, okay, I named him after my dead mother. That's her maiden name, R-U-B-I-N.
Joe.
She died 18 years ago, and I loved her, and now she's gone, and I named my son after her. Have a good day, Joe.
Still a great question.
Oh, it's a great question.
Solid question.
Just trying to instill the Jewish guilt.
Yeah,
I'm probably not as good as my mom was.
His question was, has the thought ever crossed my mind? Like, yeah, of course the thought crossed my mind.
A lot of people's minds.
Yeah, but you told me. Yeah. You told me what it was, so I knew that wasn't the case.
R-U-B-I-N, as opposed to the sandwich.
By the way, you did have, I don't know, I was on the phone, but you did have a blog dedicated to Reuben sandwiches, too.
Which is the ironic thing. That's the funny thing.
That's where my mind went at first, too.
It's 100% true. I happen to love the Reuben sandwich, and it's like, I had a blog. I had the Reuben blog for a while. It's true.
Wait.
Also, my
Reuben blog.
I have a daughter. I have a daughter named Monte Cristo, who I think you'd really enjoy.
Sure. My daughter Burrito is gorgeous.
your dog's named California Club.
My cousin Rec.
All right. That's good. That's good. What would be on the Reuben blog?
It's still out there. I'll find it. I chased down great Reuben sandwiches because I think it's the greatest sandwich that man has ever created.
Now I'm starting to doubt that your mom's maiden name was Reuben.
That'd be an awesome ruse, right? I staged the death of a fake mother in order to name my son
after a sandwich.
Yeah.
I'll confuse them there and remove an E from the spelling.
There was a while where I had a Reuben blog and a Reuben blog. One about the sun, one about the sandwich, but they are different
Dexter
things.
Writes in, so your dead mother was named after the sandwich. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.